Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Raul Rubico, Tulane University. I guess the disclaimer that Javier and Daniel did in the previous panel, it applies to me as well. My paper has been, or the preliminary draft has been submitted this morning, and this is a very preliminary work, and I should say, and it's a joint effort with the National Center of Competitiveness in Venezuela. The idea is to build up in a more empirical paper, so we could, in a way, try to get more data by the macroeconomic perspective of the competitiveness in Venezuela. There are a couple of reasons why we start writing about this and researching about this. The first one is there's a lot of effort in trying to like measure what has been the macroeconomic effect or the effects of the public policy in the macroeconomic performance of the country, but not necessarily has been the microeconomic perspective has been addressed or fully addressed. So we do believe in terms of like not only the last 10 years, but also in the next, in the future, it should be addressed. I mean, the private sector, it's definitely an important player in the Venezuelan economy and has definitely been affected by the policy framework in the last 10 years. And in that line, we are proposing to go over and see what exactly happened to the private sector and how the different public policies that the government in the, from 1999 to 2009 has affected the sector. And the approach we're using, or the question we're trying to answer is like how firms have been affected, not only in total numbers, but also in a more qualitatively perspective, that is, are they being as sophisticated as they should be in order to be competitive? Are they integrating themselves more in a cluster development idea? Or do they have quality of business environment that would allow them to be productive and create wealth? Because at the end, I guess what it matters for a country to be competitive is not to inherit wealth, which is more the idea that when you are coming into base economy, you inherit wealth, you are not doing any activities that create value, and the value creation activities are definitely done by the firms or businesses. And so in order to do that, I'm going to try to be very brief because I understand it's like 5:20 and it has been a long day. So the way we went about this paper, first we're trying to answer what the major factors are driving competitiveness in the country, and in order to do that, we analyzed, or we went over the milestones of the policy framework in the last 10 years. We have divided in three, hopefully this works. Yeah, there we go. We have divided in three major periods. The first one, 1999 to 2001. We call it productive development in a more inclusive market economy framework. Then 2001 to 2004, productive activity in the framework of a social economic proposal. And 2005 to 2009, economic activity framing to a socialist forms of production. And it's also fair to say that we analyzed the first 10 years before President Chavez took office to also see where, how was the private sector doing back then. And so we could have a broader perspective. And then we used as a conceptual framework, different theoretical approaches, but mostly the microeconomic foundations of prosperity, which is Christian Kettles, Michael Porter, Delgado. I mean, it's pretty much a framework that it's widely accepted and known to try to assess competitiveness in a country. And so we, as I said, we focus primarily in to see the microeconomic capability of the Venezuelan economy to respond to the current challenges. And after that, we tried to derive some quantitative analysis, although I should be upfront said that data is a big problem in Venezuela these days. It's very unfortunate. We not only public, but even secondary data, it's hard to find. So we did our best in time in terms of like trying to gather as much data as possible and see what the effect of the policies were in the business sector. And we complemented that analysis with a more qualitatively assessment using the tools based on the conceptual framework and try to come to sort of an assessment of what is the business climate these days in Venezuela. Finally, we got to some conclusions, and hopefully, as I said, it's a preliminary work, and it will build in the next couple of months. And so, to start with, what happened in the 90s in Venezuela? I mean, what was the situation? I mean, how was the private sector doing? And what were the challenges? I'm going to go pretty briefly on that, but basically, the picture wasn't pretty at all. We could see that between 1985 and 1998, there were like some job destruction as well. Like, the firms were going down. I mean, the economy faced many challenges. There were some stabilization programs that were tried to help to foster the economic growth of the country or to stabilize the economy. It didn't work that well. And that's how President Chavez got into the 1999. I mean, basically, Chavez had a major challenge to try to diversify the economy from an oil-dependent economy and to create wealth. There was some nervousness at that moment with the business sector because part of his campaign was anti-investment, especially in the oil sector. It's pretty interesting that if we see, when we took a look at the 1999-2001 period, we saw that Mr. Chavez was actually closer to the private sector than we would expect it. In fact, he looked at the private sector as a potential ally in terms of creating an economy diversification strategy. And that's what we put his main, or the key points of his agenda in that moment were microenterprises and small medium enterprises. To him, and we could see it in the policies that he implemented during those 3 years, he thought that the private sector, through these two entities, could achieve economic diversification. Why microenterprises? Microenterprises were the ideal vehicle for him, or for the government, to kind of reduce poverty levels, since little entrepreneurs were the ones that were receiving the funding and could do some entrepreneurship and like to build their own businesses. The same happened to small, medium enterprises. In fact, during that period, the small, medium enterprises development and implementation law was passed, and there were some efforts like creating the INAPIMI, which was the main body that was supposed to design the industrial policy for small, medium manufacturing enterprises. And also they created the Banco Soberano del Pueblo and Banco de la Mujer, and they transformed the Fondo Inversión de Venezuela into what is called the National Development Economic Bank, BANDES. The whole idea behind this, the rationale behind this, was to be able to provide the financing for these initiatives, these small initiatives. And in the same time, the government at the time stressed the need for fiscal infrastructure. That's when it started the whole pole, the creation of the different poles of development in the country. That was part of the whole strategy. And although there were many good initiatives at the time, and as we're probably going to see later in the presentation, none of them, or almost none of them, actually went through, unfortunately. But I guess the main takeaway in this period is that Mr. Chavez and his government looked at the private sector as a potential ally to promote economic diversification and to reactivate the economy. Then we have the second period, 2001-2004. It's actually the end of 2001-2004, and this is where we see the major transformation comes into place in Venezuela. What happened there? There is a change in the discourse of the president. In fact, it's at the end of 2001, the first Alo Presidente, or mid-2002, that he mentions the word capitalism. He refers to it to brutal capitalism. And then he starts questioning public national TV concepts such as return on investment, return on assets, return on capital, and he starts blaming the private sector to be one of the responsibles for poverty levels and inequality in the country. During that time, he proposed an alternative that came from cooperatives. Like this morning, somebody said that Venezuela didn't have much tradition in this cooperative. However, some research says actually we, back from the 70s, we do have a big presence of cooperatives, but at the time there were only 1,000 cooperatives. What happened at the end of this period, we are looking at 58,000 cooperatives that were registered in Venezuela. That's how the policy shift influenced the surge of these new economic forms of organization. In the meantime, small medium enterprises and micro enterprises kind of fade away and were off the policy agenda of the government. In the meantime, also, there was a law for cooperatives placed. There were significant benefits that were given to these economic forms of organization. The first one, they were tax exempted. They didn't have to pay anything to register, and they were the conditions and the access to financing mechanisms were quite easy. The only thing you had to do was to associate with some other people, create your own cooperative, and go to some of these banks, and you would probably get the loan. The main argument behind why cooperatives are not small, medium enterprises, and micro enterprises, again, social inclusion. People didn't have enough assets, according to President Chavez and most of the policymakers at the time, and to be able to run their own micro-enterprise or their own small medium enterprises. So whoever didn't have that, those assets could get together with somebody else and get the access to the market. Then in 2005, 2009, things changed dramatically after post-referendum, December 2004, Mr. Chavez openly talks about socialism. And socialism also meant for cooperatives, a big change. At this time, persistence against the private sector, we're gonna see some numbers and how the private sector performed during those years, but in that moment, there was a different proposal. The one, socialist enterprises, also, and it comes actually from the 2001-2004, so that's a little mistake, it's the nucleus of indigenous development nucleus, Núcleos de Desarrollo Endógeno, which basically was the agglomeration of the different cooperatives in geographic areas. And then there is the latest proposal, socialistic enterprises. And also in the middle, there is the idea of empresa dentro, fábrica dentro, inside factory, which I'll talk about it. So, but basically the tone at this moment, it's completely anti-market. It's the socialist enterprises and the socialist corporations have preferences in terms of like bidding processes with the national enterprises, and this should be taken into account. I mean, there is an uncompetitive market at this point. I mean, basically you have the private firms or small medium enterprises that would try to get some businesses and try to hire it, or get some of the contracts from the public enterprises. And that there is the cooperatives, the small medium, the EPS, and the socialistic enterprises, and they have preference in terms of like who gets the bidding process, the purchases, the contracts. They also get subsidies from the government, and the whole idea, as somebody says in the previous panel, it's not necessarily eliminate the private sector, but to evolve into a more compensated sector where socialist production companies would actually have more businesses. But that, if you take a look from the business perspective, that is worrisome because I'm, as a business owner, I'm not in the same conditions and competitive conditions to compete against the new firms or economic firms, socialist economic firms, because, I mean, they would have the preference to actually get access to the contracts. So that's a little bit about the history. So let's see what actually happened. So the first one. Going back to my conceptual framework, macroeconomic capabilities and prosperity is a crucial relationship. The only way you could create wealth if you are, the only way you could create prosperity if you create wealth. And you only can create wealth through the companies, through firms. I mean, countries do not create wealth. Firms do. And in the case of countries like Venezuela, basically they are inheriting wealth, which is due to the oil rents. And so to this end, any economic policy not only should focus on macroeconomic, but also in microeconomic policy to generate an enabling environment where firms can perform. And I think that's our main argument here. Has it been an enabling environment in the last 10 years for firms? And would it be in the next 10 years? So again, sophistication, this is kind of the relationship we're trying to prove, sophistication of company operation and strategy, which is basically, it refers to the ability that companies could be sophisticated enough in terms of the operational strategy and compete. This is more framed into the whole idea that companies not only compete locally, but also internationally and with the globalized economy. And state of cluster development, that is really important because companies, in the whole perspective, the local and international markets should link together and try to get some cost efficiency or economies of scales or promote share innovation. And then the third one, the quality of the macroeconomic business environment is completely important. I mean, you could be very efficient strategically as a firm, and you could also be connected to different companies, but if the quality of the business environment is not in place, there's no way, well, I guess I'm gonna have to hurry up now. There's no way you could actually perform well in the economy or, you know, to provide, to create wealth. So I'm just gonna pass this pretty quickly, and I'm gonna go here. 1999-2001. Well, we see that from that period, actually, gross domestic product increases. I guess my two colleagues in the panel will talk more about macroeconomics, so I'm just going to go straight to the micro. What happened? Total enterprises. 1999, 11,000 around roughly enterprises. Official data. Official data, by the way. 2000, 8,000. 2001, 6,400. I know some pro-government academics or practitioners or policymakers would say that this should not be endorsed to President Chavez because he, at that time, he was inheriting part of like the bad decade before. However, it's not necessarily true because, as we will see, some of his policies that he proposed during this, the first 3 or 4 years didn't go through and didn't help the private sector to actually develop as it should have. And we also see the cooperatives, like as I said, there were some. Again, I'm going to pass this pretty quickly. But total enterprise cooperative. What I was telling you, 2001, we have close to 1,000 cooperatives. 2004, 58,000. Well, this is after the recovery from the oil strike. I'm going to pass. Total enterprises cooperatives in 2005, 2009. We reached almost 300,000 cooperatives in 2009. However, and this is where it gets better, official data says that 62% of those cooperatives has no recent activity. 15% no active, 23% active, and out of those 23%, half of them are in the service sector, so they don't really create any value. Moreover, and this is from SUNACAP, Superintendencia Nacional de Cooperativas. Most of the firms were only used to get the initial loans. That was it. Somebody was talking about ethical transformation that didn't happen? I guess so. Business climate in Venezuela, pretty quickly, I'm just gonna go. Based on, it's this more qualitative approach. But we can definitely say that in context of firm strategy and rivalry, there's a poor labor market. The inamovilidad or job law has remained for more than 3 years. Poor, if any, globalization orientation. Corruption remains a problem. I guess we're in the 160 out of 178 according to international transparency. Competition and small-medium policy largely ineffective. In the paper, it's better described, but just to tell you that not only the law, but all the other programs that were implemented in the first 3 years didn't go through. And, well, insecurity about future policy-making, expropriation, new taxes, unfair treatment in terms of competition. I don't think I have to say anything else on that one. Factor, input conditions, good endowment of natural resources, most definitely. We still have oil and some other mineral resources. Poor education system, although illiteracy rate has improved, and that should be given, in terms of like what it's trying to measure is more the high school labor. Venezuela suffers and it's going through a problem of brain drain for first, and second, the quality, it's not necessarily that high. In fact, there is a review of the Misión Vuelvan Caras in 2004 and 2005 that actually acknowledges that although the training sessions have been very expensive, they have not been as productive as they should be. Very weak administrative government processes, poor statistics and information system. I guess I have to give it to you. I said poor, I should probably say none. Statistics. One, by the way, one of the goals for the 1999 and 2001 for the small and medium enterprises was to create an industrial system of statistics so they could measure better the business performance. That didn't happen either. related and supporting industry in existence of cluster development, new economic forms of organization contrary to that development. In fact, you could have thought that the nucleus of the desarrollo endógeno could have had the same logic of clusters because it would have agglomerated all the cooperatives. But when we look into the, what the President Chavez said about it, in terms of like the property, the private property versus the social property, it's completely against it, so we rule it out as well. And planned economy, and I have 2 minutes, otherwise Nora is going to hit me. Demand conditions with legal standards, concerns on property rights. However, we do have sophisticated consumers and a large and pretty important market, which is good news. I mean, if we put in place our private sector again, there's definitely market for that. And I guess the same goes for business people. In Venezuela, you could sell anything. And apparently it's true. So what are the major big conclusions? Again, preliminary work. Although the private sector in the 1990s was going through a major crisis, where firms were also closing down, we have to give that and going out of business, the last 10 years has made the situation worse. But why has it made it worse? Because I guess the microeconomic foundations of it, like the pillars in order for businesses to continue to remain in place, are not anymore in the economy. I mean, you're seeing, if you are a business owner these days, you are exposed to expropriation, you are exposed to now property rights, but also there is an unfair competition system. I mean, you are not part of the social enterprises to get the contracts. The Bolivarian era lacked a coherent policy proposal that truly promotes economic diversification strategy. I guess from the three changes that we saw, I mean, there was no consistency about it. And I guess it's in the whole logic of the system that it's contrary to pro-markets policies. So, and the new governmental proposals, EPS, socialist enterprises, and cooperatives, some seem to be failures, such as the case of cooperatives. I guess 70%, 62%, I mean, it's a lot of money we have been putting as Venezuelan taxpayers in the last 5 to 6 years, and they haven't performed as well, based on the numbers, the official data that is showing. And somebody else said in the previous panel, EPS and socialist enterprises, we still don't know what they're really about, so there's no way we could really measure them. And I guess what the main takeaway of this presentation is, Venezuela is not only losing its competitiveness, I guess it's finally losing its capacity to respond to the future challenges, and that's what we should be worried about. I mean, not necessarily the snapshot today, but the next 10 or 20 years. I mean, there is private sector destruction in the last 10 years. The economy might be performing well, that I have to give it to you, macroeconomically speaking, even though we could still say that two-thirds of the GDP is still non-oil GDP. But the question is, are businesses sophisticated enough to compete globally? What's going to happen eventually when you have to compete globally, when you have an external shock? I mean, are you going to be able to compete against Peru, Colombia, just to say in Latin America, not even try to go against India or China? So that's what we should probably be looking at. Thank you.
Thank you very much.